presented by the American Beverage Association.
It's Thursday morning. I'm Olivia Reingold, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. We're learning that the GOP is considering sending another infrastructure counterproposal to the White House. That's after President Joe Biden and Senator Shelley Moore Capito, the lead GOP negotiator on the issue, met for a one-on-one yesterday. Their public statements were bland, but here's what we were able to learn about what happened behind closed doors. After sitting down with Biden in the Oval Office, Capito briefed the other five Senate Republicans in her negotiating group. That's John Barrasso, Roy Blunt, Mike Crapo, Pat Toomey, and Roger Wicker. And Republicans weren't happy with what she had to say, telling them Biden wants $1 trillion in new spending. If you're new here, there's been a big debate about how much of the Republican offers have been taken up by baseline spending. That's spending that would already occur if nothing changed and current policy stayed the same. But Republicans say only a few weeks ago, Biden told GOP negotiators that baseline spending could go towards meeting his goal of a $1 trillion package. The latest Republican offer, by the way, is nowhere near $1 trillion in new spending, with an overall price tag of $928 billion, $257 billion of which count as new spending. Meanwhile, the last number the White House had was $1.7 trillion. So now, the GOP is considering sending another counteroffer to the White House as soon as Friday, when Capito is scheduled to meet with Biden again, this time probably by phone. But nothing is set in stone. When Capito briefed her co-negotiators last night, the group didn't reach a final decision about where to go from here, partly because we're hearing they're starting to feel discouraged. One source put it like this, quote, "I have a hard time seeing this go ahead because Republicans' plans always have baseline included. I don't think Senate Republicans are interested in $1 trillion in new spending or changing the tax cuts or raising other taxes, and that's been clear from day one." They added, quote, "It's a great dance, but at some point the music is going to stop. Clearly, nobody wants to be holding the bag." With 3 weeks left to go until primary day, New York mayoral candidates got their first chance to debate in person last night.
Welcome to the second debate of the Democratic candidates in the primary race for mayor of New York. Whoever wins the chance to serve as the 110th mayor of the nation's biggest city.
The eight major Democratic candidates in the race launched into full attack mode during the second of three televised debates.
Thank you, Mr. Yang. We're up to 329,000 employees. It's just gone up and up, even as other New Yorkers have had to cut back.
Andrew, I was the first candidate to lay out a clear plan to actually solve the budget deficit.
So you're not on the same page.
Thank you, gentlemen.
But it was a cutting exchange between Andrew Yang, the entrepreneur turned former presidential candidate, and Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, a former NYPD captain that stood out. Adams went after Yang for never voting in a city election, leaving the city at the height of the pandemic, and showing a lack of policy chops on key issues facing New York.
You left the city during a very difficult time. Even during the time when I did not see my son over 2 months because I was in the street during COVID, you did not vote in municipal elections at all. I just don't know, how the hell do we have you become our mayor with this record like this? How do you govern a diverse city like this? I just can't get it.
Eric, New Yorkers know exactly what I've been up to the past several years. I started an anti-poverty movement that has helped millions of New Yorkers in our time of need, and I moved to Georgia to help win the Senate. Can you all imagine what we'd be facing right now if Mitch McConnell were still the Senate Majority Leader instead of New York's own Chuck Schumer? That has given us a life.
Voters tuning in for the first time saw a glimpse of tensions that have been bubbling up on the campaign trail for weeks. Crime and economic recovery have topped the list of concerns for voters heading into the June 22nd primary. And despite their attacks, Yang and Adams are largely aligned on policing strategy. If the election becomes about crime, Adams may have a built-in advantage as a former cop. But if it's economic recovery, Yang's message of revitalizing the city's tourism economy could carry the day. Not much to report on what the White House and Congress is up to today, but here's what we do know about everyone's schedule. The president has nothing listed publicly, but it is First Lady Jill Biden's 70th birthday, and the two are in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware today. The AP is reporting that the Bidens plan to spend a, quote, quiet birthday at home, and that the president's trip to their beach house was his first visit there since taking office in January. The two are expected back in D.C. on Friday, also according to the AP. Meanwhile, at 11 a.m. Eastern, the White House COVID-19 response team and public health officials will brief, with Press Secretary Jen Psaki later briefing at 12:30 p.m. One thing that might come up, the White House's recent announcement that some retail pharmacies will offer extended hours this month to deliver coronavirus vaccine shots. As of early this morning, just under 63% of American adults have gotten at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Congress is in recess this week. Don't forget, a new episode of Playbook Deep Dive should be in your feed early tomorrow morning. Subscribe now so you don't miss it. That's all I've got for you today. For more news on what's breaking in DC right now, subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. I'm Olivia Rheingold. Thanks. See you first thing tomorrow.
America's beverage companies are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. Our bottles are made to be remade. We're carefully designing them to be 100% recyclable, including the caps. And we're investing in community recycling programs so that every recycled bottle we get back can be turned into the material that we use to make new bottles. That completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help us get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org.